Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Burden. Thank you so much for tuning in to our Every Nation channel. And I'm so glad you did, because I got news for you. God has got a word for you. God's got a word for you this morning, all right? And so before we jump into the scriptures, I need to tell you the story about Kenny Sailors. Kenny, back in the early 1940s, he and Kenny's older brother, they would play one-on-one basketball. Unfortunately, it wasn't much of a game because Kenny was 5'7" and his brother was 6'5". And so you can imagine if these guys are playing one-on-one basketball, man, Kenny Sailor's just getting a shot block time and time again. But the 5'7" young man, he was undeterred, and he was going to find a way to beat his big brother. And so he had this idea. He would drive down the court, and then when he got to his big brother, he would pull up, and he would try something novel and new. He would jump in the air and then take his shot. And see, with that move, Kenny Sailors, he revolutionized the game of basketball. Unbeknownst to him, he had just invented the jump shot, right? In fact, Kenny became so adept at it that he carried his team to the NCAA championships in Madison Square Gardens, and it was amazing. They had the first picture or image of a jump shot was put on Life magazine. If you remember that, I think we have an image of it. And there's Kenny jumping in the air with his jump shot. He was named MVP of the tournament. And so, do you know, prior to that time, the game was played on the ground, but Kenny revolutionized it. He says, I'm going to play my game in the air, and that's what I want for us. I don't want an NCAA championship, though that would be sweet. I don't care about an MVP, but here's what I do want. Man, I want you and I, while the world is content and living life on the ground, I want us to play in the air, right? And so that's going to lead us to our letter today, as we're in the ABCs of faith. And we're on the letter P, and P stands for prayer. P stands for prayer. And so I think you would agree, like prayer is really very simple. It's just talking to God. But while prayer is simple, it's not easy. And I'll just prove it this way. Like, how many of you out there, you feel like you should pray more than you do? Is that pretty much a unanimous amen? That's all of us, for sure. And I've never met the person that go, you know, Pastor, I just pray too much. I have never met that individual, okay? And so prayer, it's simple, but it's not easy. And here's the reason why it's not easy, is because there's a warfare going on. Like, you have an enemy, the devil, and he wants nothing more than to keep you from the power of the air, from the power of prayer. And so let's briefly, we'll play a little Bible trivia. So only two people in the scriptures, they never died, and they were just taken up into heaven. Do you know who those are? Dun, 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 dun. All right, time's up, okay? It was Elijah, and it was also this man, Enoch. Enoch, and Enoch, he had this amazing testimony about his life. It says this, that Enoch walked with God. Here's what that means. Is that Enoch, no matter where he went, when he went, he made it a point to bring God with him. That he talked with God everywhere and anywhere. And because of that, there was this moment when Enoch and the Lord, they enjoyed each other's company so much, God was like, hey, rather than go to your house, why don't you let me just take you up to my house? And he just took him right up to heaven, right? And but here's what's interesting. You know, the name Enoch, it means dedicated or disciplined. And I believe Enoch, he disciplined his life to be aware and to pray. Paul would say it this way, pray without ceasing, that wherever he went, he knew that to talk to God or to pray. And it made his life powerful. And I want that for us. In fact, Samuel Morse, back in 1844, he sent the very first Morse code. It was humanity for the first time. They can send messages over great lengths of space. And so the very first communication sent via telegraph, it was actually a Bible verse. It was Numbers 23:23. And what that says is this: what hath God wrought? What hath God wrought? And so man, now he could communicate over great distances, but I got news for you. Man, by the power of God and the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you can communicate to other dimensions. Like man, through the power of prayer, we can communicate with God in the heavenly realms. What hath God wrought through the power of prayer? And so our text today, we're going to be in James chapter 5. We'll look at verses 13 to 18. Before we do, you got to know who James was. Do you know that James was the Lord's brother? And so you can imagine James, he was an early church father, and he led the church in Jerusalem. And do you know that James, he had a nickname? And that nickname was this: they called him Camel Knees. And the reason why is he spent so much time on his knees in prayer that his knees became calloused. And so get this, man, he just so enjoyed talking to his big brother Jesus, right? And the prayer, it marked his life. And so in our passage today, it's only six short verses, but in it, man, James is going to beat this drum: pray, 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 pray. He's going to use the word pray seven times in six verses. Man, when I heard him just reiterating pray, 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 it brought me to the great psalmist, Samuel Burrell. I'm sure you've heard of him, and he's got a great song on prayer. He uses the word prayer in his psalm 147 times. And so maybe you don't know him as Samuel Burrell. You might remember him as MC Hammer. And so he would let us know, pray, pray. You got to pray just to make it today, right? And that'll be the last time I sing for you this evening, or rap. But I think I agree with MC Hammer. We need to pray just to make it today. And so we're going to be in James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. It begins like this: is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. And so I just want to just unpack these simple verses for a moment here. And so the first point is this: like James says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone suffering? Let him pray. And so let me take you back, in a time capsule, back to 1989. It was my wedding day. In fact, May of this year, my wife and I have been married for 35 years, man. Come on. And I think we have an image of our wedding picture. And so if it looks weird, like we took a picture of a picture, it's because we did. We didn't have phones back then, okay? And so so we have this picture, and I need you to check me out, man, because I'm rocking the mullet on my wedding day, man. We got business in the front and party in the back, and I was rocking the white tuxedo, man, with tails. I was looking like Lloyd Christmas and Dumb and Dumber, man. It was pathetic. And then my poor wife, not to be outdone, recently my oldest daughter Cassie, she actually found our wedding album, and that was a thing. And she was looking through the pictures, and she told my wife, she's like, Mom, no offense, but you were kind of ugly in your wedding dress. None taken, sweetheart. None taken, right? And so we get this. And I got to tell you about my wedding day. My pastor was Pastor Carl. He had this thick German accent, old school. And now that I'm a pastor, I realize, hey, man, you hijacked my wedding. Because, man, Pastor Carl, he preached like a 40-minute turn or burn message during our wedding. So the entire wedding ceremony lasted like 2 hours, man. It was a beatdown. But there came one moment in our wedding ceremony when Pastor Carl, he told Susan and I to kneel at the altar. And so we're facing the front of the church where the cross is, and our backs are turned to the audience. And the moment I took took to my knees, the crowd erupted in laughter. And here's what you need to know. One of my groomsmen took nail polish and wrote on the bottom of my shoes, "Help me. Help me." And here's what's so crazy. I can't even begin to tell you how many times over my 55 years of life, man, I've used those words. Help me. Man, I've prayed that often in my life, and I think it's a really, really good prayer. James says this, is any one of you suffering? Like, are any of you, are you going through it? Is it a difficult season in your life? Then James' appeal is this, then let him pray. Let him pray. And I think help me is a real beautiful prayer. In fact, in Matthew chapter 15, there was a Syrophoenician woman. And this woman, she had the worst kind of pain. She had parent pain because her little girl was oppressed by a demon. Her girl was suffering. Is any one of you suffering? Let them pray. And this Syrophoenician woman, she chased down Jesus, despite the fact she wasn't a Jewish, she wasn't part of God's covenant people, she still went to the feet of Jesus, and she had this very simple prayer. And let me read it to you in Matthew chapter 15, verse 25. It says, "But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me. Lord, help me.'" See, I think that's a powerful prayer that Jesus is quick to answer. And so, The great composer is Johann Sebastian Bach. And do you know what? That he too, he was a man of prayer. And before he would write one of his musical scores and compositions, he would just take the blank sheet of paper, and up in the corner, he would write these letters, J. And what it stood for was Jesu Huva. Jesu Huva. It's Latin for Jesus. Help me. And then he would write his musical scores. And at the end of it, he would initial these letters, SDG, Sole Deo Gloria, to God be the glory. And you know, what a beautiful way that you and I can live our life as a people of prayer. Remember? Because we don't want to play on the ground. We want to play up in the air. And so what would happen if each and every morning we began our day with JJ? Man, we would just pray this prayer, Jesus, help me. I think that's a real good way to start our day in prayer. And then he goes on and James says, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. And so I think praise is simply a prayer set to a melody. Man, it's like a Thanksgiving set to a song. Okay. And so, I don't know if you ever paid it. You've been in church any length of time, but people have prayer styles. They just do. And so I'm not sure how many of you out there are the Father God prayer. You know, you're like, Father God, and Father God, and Father God. Like, some of you sound like you're like those old stick shifts in your car. You're like, Father God, and Father God, Father God, right? And so that's you. Some of you are the we just prayers. Jesus, we just pray in your name, and we just ask you, and we just, right? And others of you, and you need to stop this, you become Shakespeare when you pray. You start speaking in Elizabethan English, and I had to rebuke our pastor, Shino Prater, man. We were praying together, and he starts praying. He comes out, man, like Hamlet. He's like, "Oh, we beseech thee, dear sir," and I'm like, bro, beseech? What are you talking about, right? And so, but I'm going to let you in to my prayer style. And so I am the thank you, God guy. And it was funny. I'm just, Lord, I want to thank you. God, thank you for this. God, thank you for that. I just like to thank God for everything. In fact, our worship minister, Kim Frias, she was like calling me out and mocking me on this at one point. And listen, I like the fact that I'm a thank you, God prayer. In fact, I've been praying with Kim long enough now that she too has become a thank you, God prayer. And so, like, I don't know if you've ever done this before where you sent somebody a gift and then you never hear thank you back. And then your mind starts swirling. You're like, did they get the gift? Did they not? Did I send it to the wrong place? Right? And then you get into this turmoil, this tug of war. Should I ask them if they got it? And then you wind up asking them. And then they're like, they forgot to say thank you. And then what? It's awkward for them. It's awkward for you. Just nobody wins. And so I want to be a man that's always thanking God for everything and anything. In fact, did you know that the scripture says this, that every good and perfect gift is from above. In fact, if there's anything good in your life, it's from God. And we need to pray prayers of thanksgiving and praise. God, thank you. God, thank you. And so is anyone cheerful? Let them sing praises to God. So there's Moses in your Old Testament. Do you know Moses? He had this special place where he'd go pray and meet with God. It was called the Tent of Meeting. And Moses would set it up outside the camp, and there'd be moments when the tangible presence of God would fill the tent of meeting. And when Moses would see that, he would go in and he would meet with God. And get this, the Bible says he spoke with God face to face like a man speaks with his friend. I mean, that's fascinating to me. But you know what's even more amazing than that? Is that now, because of the cross of Christ and the Holy Spirit, that you and I, we've become the tent of meeting. We are the place where the presence of God dwells on the inside of us. And so do you know what happens when you and I, when we give thanks, the presence of God begins to swell on the inside of us. Let me read to you Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. Paul says this, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. He says this, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so did you see that? He says, don't be drunk with wine, but let's be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he says, as we sing songs of praise and as we give thanks always and for everything, what happens? Man, we are filled with the Spirit. The presence of God swells on the inside of us. Let's look at point number three is this. Remember we read in James 5, 14 to 15. He says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And so right away, so James says, if you're sick, let them call for the elders to pray, and they will anoint you with oil. And so just kind of funny side story. I can never get around this. There was a young man that he needed prayer in our church. And so I just felt like he would connect well with this woman in our church. And she was like a powerful woman of God. And so I was like, hey, would you pray for my new friend, Joe? And so she starts to pray and she goes, get on your knees to Joe. And I'm like, uh-oh, it's getting weird real fast. And then she starts to pray for this young man. And then she, as he's kneeling down, she says, and Joe, I don't have any oil to anoint you with. But then she wipes my forehead and she goes, I'm taking the oil off of Pastor Adam's forehead and I'm putting it on you. I'm like, she did not just do that, man. That is amazing, and never do that again, right? And so don't trip on the being anointed with oil thing. You know what it is it becomes a point of contact. It's this reminder that it's not a man or a woman at work, but it's the oil. It's the Holy Spirit, the presence and the power of God at work in your healing. And I got news for you. God always heals. He always heals. And he'll heal in one of three ways. He'll heal through a miracle. I've had a miracle in my life where I had a ruptured bursa sac in my elbow, and it was amazing. This woman in our church, she came over and just gently laid her hand on my elbow, and she prayed, God, heal him. And that thing just disappeared. And I was embarrassed that I was so overwhelmed. That just happened, man. I just got healed. I like shouldn't be a surprise because I'm a pastor and I believe it, but yet I experienced it, and it was amazing. And so one of the ways is by a miracle, but another way is by medicine. Like God will use the common grace of doctors and medicine to heal sick folks, and praise Jesus for the gift of medicine. Or he'll do it the third way, is he'll heal you in glory. He'll heal you in glory. And listen, I get it. If we prayed for loved ones and yet they've gone home, transitioned to heaven, I get it. That can be a very unsatisfying answer. But do you know who it is satisfying for? Those that are in glory right now. Like, let me lay before you like Lazarus. Do you remember his story? Like Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, and his sisters, Mary and Martha, they call for Jesus. Hey, Lazarus is sick. We need you to pray for him. Jesus doesn't come, and he dies. Mary and Martha are very disappointed in Jesus. But do you know who's not disappointed? Lazarus. Like Lazarus in that moment, there's no more pain, no more suffering. He's in eternal glory. There's joy unspeakable in his presence. You know, that crick he had in his neck and that sore knee is no longer. It's gone away, man. He just knows the euphoria of the presence and the glory of God. And guess what? It's all ended in a moment as he hears these words, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus heals them. Mary and Martha are ecstatic, but you know who's probably not happy? Man, he's gone from glory back to the first century Palestine, right? No air conditioning, all the pain and suffering is back again. And eventually Lazarus would have to die another time, right? And so God always heals and answers our prayers. Notice what James says. When we pray, we're to pray in faith. We are to pray in faith. We're to believe. Jesus will mention this. He touches on prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, Jesus says this. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And so Jesus is saying, man, we're to have faith when we pray. We're to have faith as a good father. Like our God, he's a good father, a good daddy. And so get this. So in my house, like for example, Christmas, man, Christmas is a big deal. And my responsibility is I'm to buy my wife and my daughters. I got to get them a wow gift. Like it's something I'm going to spend too much money on. They're never going to expect it and they're going to get it. And it's going to surprise them so much that when they open this gift, they're going to be like, wow, right? And so I love to give my kids wow gifts. And listen, I'm a poor, poor example of a good, good father. But Almighty God, who has a perfect, loving heart for us, man, how much more will our Heavenly Father give us good gifts? And so you got to have faith in the goodness of your Heavenly Father. And then he goes on, he says that when he says to ask, seek, and knock, like those verbs, the tenses like this, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. It's like parents, you'll feel me on this. Like our kids can be relentless asking for stuff, right? Like if you're in it right now, you know this. Fathers, dad, 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 right? Until you want to like lose your mind and go ballistic on your kid, but not God. God, he wants to hear this. He says, ask and keep on asking. Like bug me and bother me. Keep doing that. And so, I want to tell you this, man, that God always answers prayer. He answers it in one of three ways. It's no, not yet, or get this, sometimes it's yes. It's yes. And so, like God, sometimes he'll tell us no. You know that Jesus said, God, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He's like, God, I want to do it another way. And what does the Father say? No. The Apostle Paul, I think he's a little bit holier than you and I, and he asked God to remove a thorn in his flesh, and God said, no. So if he said no to Jesus and Paul, I'm guessing he's going to say no to us occasionally. But get this, man, there are moments when God says yes, all right? And when the heart of God and the will of God and our requests line up, man, we get a resounding amen from him. I love what to the late Tim Keller, he says this, that God answers our prayers the way we would if we knew what he knew. In other words, God knows circumstances and things that we can't quite understand in our finite minds, but God knows and he answers our prayers the way we would if we knew what he knew. And so when he talks about having faith in prayer. What he means is, too, you need to be persistent, and persevere in prayer. So I'll share this. I'm not proud of this, but, you know, my daughter, Cassandra, she had this favorite necklace that she loved and she wore it. And so she's a hairdresser. So she drove to work and she came back home and then she realized, oh my gosh, my necklace is gone. And so she doesn't know like what to do or where to go. And so she decides to drive back to the salon to search for it. And get this, I don't know if you've ever done this, but parents, you get this. Remember, there's no pain like parent pain. And my daughter was going through a difficult season, and I just needed God to show up. God, please. She was leaning into the Lord, seeking him on certain things. I'm like, God, please come through with this. Just let her find her simple necklace, Lord. And so I knew he was going to do it and come through. She came home, and she says, Dad, can find it. It's lost. And so just to shoot you straight, I'm just like, oh, I was so disappointed in the Lord. Like I wouldn't audibly say that, but I was like, oh God, it's such a simple thing. How could you not just do that? But get this, 3 days later, she shows up back at her work. She gets out of her work, her car in the parking lot, looks down, and there is her necklace. On the third day, she finds it. And so, man, I just was so convicted. I'm like, oh, way to go, Pastor. Great man of faith and power. Way to persevere in prayer. I was like, God, you screwed up, Lord. How did you not do this? And so, listen, don't be like your pastor, but I want you to persevere and persist in prayer. Don't be like Pastor Adam. Be more like Steve Perry from the group Journey, man. Don't stop believing. That's going to be who we are. We're going to persist in prayer because persistent prayer is powerful, man. And then James chapter 5, verse 16, he says this, and this will be point number 4. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And so I love this. It doesn't just say, hey, call for the elders. Let the varsity people pray for you. But no, he says you're to pray for one another. And so I got to share this fascinating story. It's a true story from Elizabeth Elliot's book, Keep a Quiet Heart. And she tells the story of a young woman by the name of Brenda. And Brenda is a mountain climber. And as her and her team are climbing this mountain, as she's climbing up, one of the climbing ropes hits her in the face and her contact falls out. And so now one of her eyes, she's got blurred vision and she's really struggling to climb up this mountain. And she, as she's up on a resting point, man, she has this moment and she's like, oh, like God, I know you can do something. And she prays this prayer. She says, she looked out across the ranges of mountains, thinking of this Bible verse that says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. She thought, Lord, you can see all these mountains. You know every stone and leaf, and you know exactly where my contact lens is. Please help me. And as she prayed this simple prayer, several moments go by, and there's another team of mountain climbers behind her, and she hears someone yell, hey, did anyone lose a contact? And so come to find out, man, that this guy, the only reason he found the contact is because there was an ant carrying this contact across one of the rock ledges. And so, is that an unbelievable story? And get this, she told the story to, Brenda told it to her father, who was a cartoonist. And he drew this cartoon of the ant carrying contact lens. I think we have it coming up on the screen. And under it was this caption that the ant says. He says, Lord, I don't know why you want me to carry this thing. I can't eat it, and it's awfully heavy. But if this is what you want me to do, I'll carry it for you. And so I so love that story. And I'll say that to say this is that man, James says we are to pray for one another. And God, like that ant, he may burden you to carry something in prayer for other people. And so I promise you, there's just like if God puts someone to your mind or your imagination, that's his clue, man, to say, hey, you need to pray for them and begin to cry out to God because you never know what God might do for them through your prayer. And so we pray for one another. And James says this, that the prayer of a righteous person, it has great power. And for the record, we don't stand in our own righteousness, but we understand that when James talks about the righteous, that those are those that are rightly related in right relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when our hearts are aligned with the Lord, suddenly our prayers become powerful. Jesus would say it this way in John 15:7. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask, get this, whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Do you see that? Like there's a power when our hearts align with the heart of Jesus. Now he says, whatever you will, man, just go ahead and ask for it and I'm going to answer that prayer. Why? Because the prayer of a righteous man, one aligned with Jesus, is powerful. And then point number five is this, James 5, verses 17 to 18. It says this, that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. And so, like, here's the big idea. James is highlighting the fact is that Elijah, man, God did amazing things through the prayers of Elijah. He says, man, it didn't rain on the earth for 3 months. Then he prayed again and it did rain. Do you know, he didn't even mention, do you know that Elijah, he prayed and called down fire from heaven. That would be amazing. But at the end of the day, James' big idea is this. It's not because Elijah's amazing. Elijah was a dude like you or me. And he says what? But when he prays, man, it's powerful. And so get this. Do you know what happens after Elijah prays that God would make it rain again? Here's what he did. He actually runs away in fear and terror from Queen Jezebel. He was afraid. See, because why? Because Elijah just was a normal dude like you or me. That Elijah, do you know that he battled with a season of depression and melancholy? In fact, that he prayed this prayer to God, God, just kill me. See, he battled depression despite the fact that God did powerful things through his prayer. You know why? Because, man, he was just a dude. But he was a dude that decided, I'm going to pray. And I want to tell you this. Man, you might just be an ordinary guy or girl, man, but you can. God can do mighty things through your prayers. And I'll end this way. Tell the story of Kevin Hines. So Kevin Hines, he was a young man who battled depression his whole life, and until one day he just kind of believed the lie that he was useless and it would be better if he ended his life, and so he decided he was going to jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. Do you know that on average there's about 30 people that jump off the Golden Gate Bridge? For some reason they romanticize it in their mind. It's a horrible, horrible way to die. I don't know if you know this, but when you jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, your body, it exceeds speeds of 75 miles per hour. When you hit the water, all your bones fragment and shatter, and they wind up puncturing your vital organs until you slowly drowned in the ocean. And so the drop takes about 4 seconds. And here's what I want to tell you. God can answer a 4-second prayer. Because Kevin Hines, he got to the edge of the Golden Gate Bridge, and then he jumped. And it was as if for a moment he hung in the air, and then he started to hurtle down to the ground in 4 seconds. But in those 4 seconds, he prayed this simple prayer, God help me, I don't want to die. And get this, man, when he hit the water, Kevin Hines, he didn't die. He did break his back, though, and now his legs weren't functioning. He thought, oh my gosh, now I'm going to drown in the ocean. Okay, but what happens? Get this, something starts to hit Kevin Hines in his rear end. And he thought, oh my gosh, now I'm not going to drown, but I'm going to get eaten by a shark. But get this, it wasn't a shark. It was actually a sea lion. And this massive sea lion kept Kevin Hines afloat until the Coast Guard came and rescued him. Is that an unbelievable story? God can answer the 4-second prayer. Now Kevin Hines, he spends his life telling people about mental health and about the power of prayer. And we're going to pray right now. God answers 4-second prayers. And listen, there might be some of you watching this broadcast this morning. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know you're not in a right relationship with God. But all that can change this morning with one simple prayer. God, help me. And I pray that's your prayer this morning. And now I would like to pray for us, that we would be a people of prayer, that we wouldn't be content to play on the ground, but we'd be a men and women who play in the air. We'd be a people of prayer. And so, Lord, I pray that over us. Lord, may you stir and compel us a heart to pray. And as you do, God, I pray that you do mighty things and absolutely transform both us on the inside and the world outside to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.